Good morning, everybody. We are in Parashat Shavua, Parashat Bo, and that's a part of the 10 plagues. And first of all, we have to understand what is all the idea of the 10 plagues. Well, one of the questions that everybody asks, why do we need 10 plagues? Cut 2, 3, 4, 5. And if we take in consideration that Pharaoh, after 5, he already himself wanted to send Am Yisrael after getting all those plagues and understanding that Kodesh Baruch Hu has got the power. But then the Kodesh Baruch Hu himself hardens his heart in order to make him not send Am Yisrael. Which in other words is holding a pistol to his head, you're not going to send. And then hitting him again, you're not going to send. What's the idea? So of course, Parsha Sar, at leman tesaper bozne bincha uven bincha asher itallalti bemitzrayim. I want you to tell your children and your great-great children that I, let's say, abused Pharaoh. No, really. But punishment can be enashti. But he says itallalti. And itallalti doesn't sound so... What, the Kodesh Baruch Hu mitallel babruim shelo? Kodesh Baruch Hu abuses his creatures? It doesn't sound so good. So we have to understand two things. First of all, why is he heartening the heart of Pharaoh? Pharaoh wants to send Am Yisrael, let him send. That's the whole idea, yeah? You wanted Pharaoh to send, he wants to send. He learned his lesson. Then, the other question is, okay, you heartened his heart for another plague. Why do we need it for 10 plagues? What is the idea of 10 plagues? And this brings us back in history to the creation of the world. The creation of the world, how many witnesses were there? We'll get to the Temamarim in a minute. But how many witnesses did you have in the creation? None. Nobody. Nobody was there. Adam HaRishon even was created in the end. So in other words, there is no witness to the creation. And as we know, through the generation, people stopped believing. And some people believed but didn't do the right thing. And then the Kodesh Baruch Hu decides it's the time to have witnesses to my power, to show the whole world that God is the only one who created the world and there is nobody else and He controls everything in heaven and in earth. And this has to be done with 10 plagues. One 10 plagues because the world was created in 10 ma'amarot. Yes, the asara ma'amarot, nivra olam. So again, this is one against the other. Somebody asked me, well, what's all that? Yeah, the frogs, the blood, the thing. Okay, 10 plagues, I understand. But what do we need to go through all those things? And the idea is, if we check it very carefully, we'll find out that each one of the plagues is touching another part of the creation. If it's the water, which is still life. If it's the things that grow, the trees and the weed, if it's the life of animals, frogs, for example. And then when we go through it, we find out three things. There are three, it's organized, the 10 plagues are organized in three sections. And each one of the sections is also divided in the same way. What do I mean? The first one is always Moshe Rabbeinu is meeting Pharaoh, where?
At the water.
What is he doing at the water? He thinks he's God.
His bathroom.
Exactly. Now, imagine to yourself, Pharaoh on the morning, going, nobody should see him, that he is a God, that he needs to go to toilet. And what does he do? It in the Ye'or. So he goes to the Ye'or, and in front of him, he wants to go. He was keeping it inside, and Moshe Rabbeinu is standing in front of him. 1 minute, I have a message from God. Oh, let me go, I have to go. Well, you God, what's your problem? And he's telling him the message from God. And only afterwards, if he didn't get what you call atzirut, he's going to the Ye'or. That's the first time in each one of the three sections. Then the second one is, where? In the palace. Which is also something to think about. Imagine to yourself, the palace of Pharaoh. It must be a huge place. and protected better than the White House. And nobody can even think without being invited to go in the palace. Nevertheless, to approach Pharaoh himself, there were beasts, there were guards, everything. And Moshe Rabbeinu is going in.
Well, he grew up there.
So?
He knew the back door, the side entrance.
You think he went to the back door? Okay, I'll tell you, he didn't went to the back door. He went to the front door.
Okay.
And that's the idea. He went in the front door, and nobody is stopping him. Imagine to yourself this picture. Now, there must be a few reasons, but let's say the logical, simple reason is that Moshe Rabbeinu looked like an angel. He was shining. He had a, what do you say, a drat panim. He looked important. He looked something from up there that when you looked at him, you couldn't do anything. Not the animals and not the people. And in this way, he's approaching Pharaoh. And Pharaoh himself cannot do anything against him. And he's telling him, warning him about the next plague. That's the second in each one of the section. The third one is, how? No warning, no nothing, no meeting. The plague just comes. What do we learn from there? First of all, we learn that there is something organized here. It's not just by accident. There is a system. And that is asher it'alalti. It'alalti in Hebrew, milshon alila. You know what alila is? When you read a story, which is called sipur alilati. How do you say it in English?
Fiction. No.
Not fiction. Fiction is something that leads to, needs to the next stage. A mystery or like something that leads, you call it sipur alilati or
narrative.
It's because in the story, one thing leads to the next. And sometimes when we read many stories and see many films, a lot of times we know at the middle of the film already, if not in the beginning, how it's going to end. Why? Because we know that this is going to lead to this, this is going to lead to this. And even if you don't gather it in the beginning, when we finish the story, we realize that all the things were connected. In other words, when we are going on the night of Pesach to tell the story what happened in Egypt, we have to make it in the right order. It's not like, oh, you know, we had this plague, yet this plague. This is not the right way to do it. You have to do to show the stages and how it's being done, how it's being divided. The first thing is, Kodesh Baruch Hu shows Pharaoh, you are just a human being. And I know it, and Moshe knows it, and he's going to stop you when you're going to do what you have to do like every human being on earth. The next thing is, you think you're a big king, and I will show you that with all your greatness, Moshe is going to go in your palace, approach you with all your gods, with all your animals, and talk with you. And then you have to understand, I don't need to warn you. I don't need to tell you anything. If you don't listen, be assured that you're going to get a plague, even if I don't say anything about it. And that's the third plague. So we understand that there is something organized here. Now let's see, what does all those things mean? But before we go to understand the idea of what everything means, I want to talk about a very important point in the parsha, that it's nothing to do with the plagues themselves. Why? Because this is maybe the essence of everything. Because the whole idea of the plagues, it was not for Egypt. Because as the parsha tells us in the beginning, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe bo el Paro, which is also an interesting thing, a phrase. Come to Pharaoh. What is come to Pharaoh? Go to Pharaoh. Oh, by the way, sorry. The shiur is going to be L'Eloi Nishmat Reb Nachum Ari Lei Ben Avram Isaac. V'lerfuah Shlema Shel, you know the name?
Moshe Ben Chava.
Where were we?
Come and go.
The what? Bo El Paro. It should be normally, if I send somebody to a mission, Lech, go and do this. You don't say him, come. What's the idea? Imagine to yourself, this family, they move to a new place, and the kid that used to be very happy to go to school suddenly doesn't want to go to school. Every morning, it takes an hour to wake him up, and even then, he refuses to go to school. Eventually, the father comes home from work to see what's happening with his son. Why don't you go to school? And after persuading and being this and that, the son opens his mouth and says, "Father, I am afraid." "What are you afraid from? Last school, you were the best student." He says, "Yes, but here nobody knows me. And the kids just hate me. And the teachers don't behave nicely. And I don't want to go there. I don't want to approach another day like this." So what is his father saying? "Bo, come. Come with me." And that what is God telling each one of us. "Bo, come. You're not alone. Our Father in heaven is with us with all the difficulties of life." Moshe Rabbeinu, why is he so afraid? This is Moshe Rabbeinu. Because we have to understand that Pharaoh is not just Pharaoh. Pharaoh is the symbol of all the impurity of the world. Like, he is the top tumah. And if you want to take it even farther, he is Satan himself. Not Pharaoh here, but his minister up there. And God is showing Moshe Rabbeinu what he has to do. And while they're doing it, they're going through all the things. And eventually they approach Hatanin Hagadol. The big snake, the big alligator, call it whatever you want, but this is the biggest tumah there is. And when Moshe Rabbeinu sees this place and this figure, that all the tumah of the world comes from it, he's afraid to approach it. Because Moshe Rabbeinu or not Moshe Rabbeinu, this is difficult. So what is God telling him? "You're not alone. Bo el paro." So the bo here tells us that we by ourselves cannot do anything. Only with the help of God. There is a famous story with David HaMelech that wanted to be considered as one of the fathers in Shmoneh Esreh. So Kodesh Baruch Hu told him, "I'm going to try you." And we all know the story of David HaMelech, that Kodesh Baruch Hu tried him quite enough. He was raised up as a mamzer, and everybody hated him, and he was thrown in the field. His father thought that he is not he's not his son, etc., etc. But that's not the point. The point is, when we look at the story of David, he's got plenty of tests. But God is telling him, "I didn't test you yet." And then the test comes, and David HaMelech not exactly standing through the test with Bathsheba. And then David HaMelech realizes that all the tests that he was standing, they were not him himself doing them. Who was with him all the time? God. Even David HaMelech, to go through what he went in his life, needed the help of God. In other words, the connection with God must be all times. Without the connection with God, we are nothing. And that's a big lesson to understand, because from one side, without God, you're nothing. But with God, you can do things unbelievable. So every time we stand in front of an obstacle in life, we should remember this phrase. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, bo el paro, ki ani echbadati et libo. I'm doing everything. Don't worry. I am with you. And there is a plan. And what is the plan here? Leman shiti ototai ele bekirbo. And the most important thing is, uleman tesaper beoznei vincha uben vincha et asher italalti bemitzrayim. I want you to tell the story to the next generations. This is why Yetziat Mitzrayim is so important. Because as we said, in the beginning there was no witness. But to Yetziat Mitzrayim, there were millions of witnesses. And the Islam and the Christians, they all believe in Yetziat Mitzrayim. So Yetziat Mitzrayim is the proof that God The Almighty created the world, and it's a proof of the creation. So that's why we are mentioning it every day. And there is one night that we spend the whole night telling the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. And again, it's the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. It's not lechadesh chidushim. It's not starting to explain difficult, high things. Kol hamarbe lesaper b'yetziat Mitzrayim. If somebody thinks, I used to go, when I got married, we used to have the Seder night with my in-laws, and there was always another family with us that they did Aliyah together. And the whole Seder night was discussing this point and the other point, and the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim was not really told. And at that time I thought, wow, what brilliant, what a Seder night. I didn't like it so much, by the way, but I said, that's a high level of Seder night. But then later on I understood that we missed the point. The Seder night is not in a place where we start learning Gemara. It's not a place where we chamachadesh chidushim. That's not the idea. The idea is to give the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim as it was, as simple as it is. Afilu kulanu chachamim. Kulanu nevonim. Kulanu yodim et haTorah. So he says, even if we clever and we know the whole Torah, still, what is the mitzvah of this night? Lesaper b'yitziat. Lesaper b'yitziat Mitzrayim. And that's italalti. Italalti is to show the alila. The Rashar here, Zatzal says, that the inyan of alila is alilat dvarim. It's showing us that everything is connected together and one stage leads to the next stage. And this is what you have to tell your children. Why? What's the idea? It's also written. Asher italalti b'mitzrayim, as we said, it's not as we think, I abused them, I toyed with them. Maybe there are explanations like this, but that's not the idea. The idea is, v'yedatem ki ani Hashem. That's the idea of the 10 plagues. That's the idea of Yetziat Mitzrayim. V'yedatem ki ani Hashem. Because the minute I know who God is, first of all, I can live much better. Because I know that there is a God that looks after me and helps me whatever I have. And whatever comes, comes from God. And God loves me. There is no love like God's love. In other words, whatever it does is for the good, for the best, from His love. So if I understand those things, those are three things, like the three stages of the plagues. First of all, to believe that there is a God. Secondly, He of course created the world. Secondly, He is everywhere and He's ala aretz also. He's here and He's looking after me personally, at each one of us. And the third thing, there is no other power. Because you know, okay, God loves me, He created me, He is the Almighty, but if there are other powers, they can disturb. You know, if I trust somebody who's got a lot of power, but he also is a human being. At the end of the day, he cannot deliver all the promises he promises. I don't know if Trump is going to deliver all the promises. If he is, I don't know what the situation is going to be, but that's a different issue. But God, whatever He promises, He delivers. So if I know that God is God, and He loves me, and everything that is done on this earth is from Him, from God Himself, the Almighty, what do I have to worry about? And that is Boel Paro. So we understand now the idea, general idea. And then, there are a lot of other interesting things, of course, in the Parsha. We can talk about it with no end. But I want to get to a point, as I said, that is not exactly connected to the plagues. And maybe then, if we have time, we go back to another interesting plague, which is Makat Choshech. But before this, when we come to the end, God is approaching Am Yisrael, telling them, Achodesh azeh lachem rosh chodashim. This is the first month. Why is it the first month? Because Am Yisrael was created in this moment, and from this moment on, Am Yisrael controls his destiny. Before this, they were slaves. Now they become a nation. Am Yisrael was born on Pesach. Okay, so then God is telling them about Pesach, but before this, דברו אל כל עדת בני ישראל לאמור, בעשור לחודש הזה, ויקחו להם איש שה לבית אבות, שה לבית. Now I want you to listen. I'm reading it in Hebrew, but listen and see if you see something strange or something that pops out in the psukim that I'm saying. בעשור לחודש הזה יקחו להם איש שה לבית אבות, שה לבית. ואם מעט הבית מיות משה, ולקח הוא ושכנו הקרוב אל ביתו במכסת נפשות, איש לפי אוכלות החוס או לשה, שה תמים זכר בן שנה. I go on. ולקחו מן אדם ונתנו השתי מזוזות ועל המשקוף על הבתים אשר אכלו אותו בהם. והיה לכם לאות על הבתים. I'll make it very easy for you. והיה לכם לאות על הבתים. ועבר השם לנגוף את מצרים וראה את הדם על המשקוף על שתי המזוזות, פסח השם על הפתח ואל ניתן למשחית לבוא אל בתיכם לנגוף. ואמרתם, זבח פסח הוא להשם אשר פסח על בתי בני ישראל במצרים, בנקפו את מצרים ואת בתינו הציל. So what is the thing that pops out? Yes, but there is one word, or let's say one phrase in which is changed, but it comes again and again and again. No, it's also important, but batim. Did you see how many times that is mentioned? Bait, bait, batechem, batechem, batim, bait. Did you see how many times? Now the funny thing is that at the end we say ve'amartem. That's the end. Ve'amartem. What is this sacrifice? That's the sacrifice of Pesach. And it's for God that went over our houses when he killed all those chorim in Mitzrayim, all those firstborn, ve'et bateinu itzil, and saved our houses. What did he save? 2 minutes later, they leave their house, their home. What's the idea of saving their houses? Another thing, but tell me, what's the meaning of he saved our houses? So what? It's not houses as a building. Bait, that's the Bait HaYehudi. Not the Miflaga, by the way. It's the Bait HaYehudi. The real Jewish home. That's what we're talking about. And you will see how clever it's being done. ולקחו מן אדם ולתנו על שתי המזוזות. They took the blood. And where did they put it? על המשקוף, on the door. Where?
Inside
or outside?
Inside.
Any other ideas? Everybody agrees it's inside? Yes?
Why not outside?
What?
Why not outside?
We'll get to it in a minute, but because it's, see, look what's written. ועברתי בארץ יצרים בארץ ההיא, והיה אדם לכם לאות על הבתים אשר יותר שם, וראיתי את אדם. And I will see the blood. So where is it, inside or outside?
It is
depends where you are.
No. I am inside.
Then you see it inside.
It says all of that is
outside. Well, that is outside. Yeah.
I'm just trying to, I think, the truth is, as Willie said, and as all the others, we talked about in the past quite a few times, it's written, "Vahaya Adam lachem leot." What is Rashi saying at that same spot? "Vahaya lachem, lachem leot velo leacheri mikan shelo natnu et Adam ela mi befnim." So, what's the idea? Why do you put the blood inside and not outside when you want God to see it? Because first of all, has God any problems to see the blood if it's inside or outside?
No.
So what's the meaning of ra'iti? Why did the Torah say, ve'ra'iti et Adam? Says Rashi, הכל גלוי לפניו. Everything is revealed to God. אלא אמר הקדוש ברוך הוא, נותן אני את עיני לראות שאתם עסוקים במצוותיי. In other words, the idea is the dam, the blood, is a sign for us. It's to show us that the importance of the home is not the outside, but the inside. And the inside should shine to the outside. But if the inside is rotten, you can put the blood on the door outside, doesn't mean anything. But if the blood, if the mitzvah is an inner, internal part of you, then God will see it.
So why are we supposed to put the Hanukkah candles outside?
Because we are doing Pirsum HaNes to other people, not to God. God doesn't need our Pirsum HaNes. But here, the idea is that God wants to see that, because you have to understand, afterwards, Am Yisrael goes out of Egypt. But only 20%. 80% being left there. With all those miracles. Because you have to understand, you can do outside a lot of actions. But if there is no meaning, if it doesn't, it's not connected to your inside, that's Rachmana Libabai. What God wants was our heart. He wants our inside. He doesn't want action that only from the outside. Doesn't mean anything. I can smile to somebody and inside I hate him. So what? What did I do? The idea is, and that's what he's telling them, and look how beautiful it is. Ve'imim atabait, says the Torah. You take the slam and there are not enough people to eat and you have to finish all of it. So what do you do? Ve'lakach hu ושכנו הקרוב ביותו, and he will take, and his neighbor that is close, to his home, במכסת נפות, איש לפי אוכלו. Now I'm asking you, I want to understand what the Torah is telling me. אם אימת הבית, if I haven't got enough people, so what do? I go to my neighbor that is close to my house. If I say neighbor, what does it mean? That is far away or it's close? So what's the Torah telling me? לקח הוא ושכנו הקרוב אל ביתו. A neighbor is near your house. That's a neighbor. So what does the Torah telling us when it's telling us הקרוב אל ביתו?
He also creates a problem for the neighbor. He's supposed to do his own thing too.
But
what does he do with his
karban? No, you come before and you tell him, I haven't got enough people. Let's do it together. You're right. Everybody has to be a part of the Korban, but that's exactly the idea of Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael, we are all together. It's not only me and my family, it's the whole big family of Am Yisrael. So this guy who has got, let's say, maybe only two children, which maybe that's not a problem, maybe he had to take, I don't know, they're not allowed to eat so much meat or whatever, but he hasn't got enough people in his home to eat the whole Korban Pesach. So the Torah tells him, no problem. That's the whole idea of Pesach. And we all know, on Seder night, we have all the family around us. And sometimes we have big Seders that there's more than a family. It's friends and things. And it's a good idea, if it ends good. But the idea is very good, to have all the family together and have a nice Seder night. In other words, the idea of a lot of people together, it's a good idea. But the question is, if the Torah is telling us neighbor is, of course, the one who lives next door. So why is the Torah telling us the neighbor next door? The Torah is not telling us next door. Again, karov lema. What did we say? What is home? Exactly, a bayit hayehudi. It's not a karov lebeito physically. It's a karov lebeito ideal. The ideals are the same. The inside, the home, the Jewish home. In other words, the Torah is telling us, you don't take a neighbor which is an idol worshiper. You take a neighbor that is close to your ideas, to your home. And that's a big, big idea. In other words, when we look at it, we see that the Torah is really telling us about the Jewish home. So before you go out of Egypt, you have to understand what is the basic of everything? The Jewish home. That's the basic of everything. Without a Jewish home, there is nothing. We are not individuals. We are individuals, but a part of the big thing. And this big thing is called Am Yisrael. And it starts from our home. You don't start fixing people at the other side of the world. You first of all fix your own and your own people in your own family. And then you go on outside. And that's what the Torah is telling us. Before you go out of Egypt, there is one thing you have to understand. The basic of everything is the Jewish home. And when you want to understand how important it is, Yaakov Avinu in Parashat Vayetze goes to find a wife and build the Jewish home. On his way there, it's written, Vayifga b'makom v'yalen sha. Vayifga b'makom, I think the Rasha here says it, or Rav Isaac Bernstein Zatzal, they say that he was amazed of the place. It was the place of Beis HaMikdash, Har HaMoriah. He was amazed. Vayifga b'makom. In other words, it's a phrase of, I am overwhelmed, overfilled, with no breath. I am overwhelmed. Then, years later, the end of the parsha, he comes back home, and what's written? Vayifge'u bo malachei Elokim. Now, who is overwhelmed? The angels from Yaakov. The same phrase. Vayifga b'makom, vayifge'u bo malachei Elokim. In other words, what do they see?
He left me with Zalom.
Yes, and now with the Jewish home. He comes back with a Jewish home. So when the angels see Yaakov Avinu with his wives and sons, they see a beautiful vision. They realize that is what it's all about, the Jewish home. So they now are amazed of what they see. Vayifge'u bo malachei Elokim. And that's exactly now the crucial point. Before you go out of Egypt, you have to understand how you build your life. What is important in life? And the important thing is the Jewish home, which of course has to be connected to God. And that's why when you look for the others, the karov el beito, those are close to your ideas. It doesn't mean you don't try and bring others close to your ideas. Of course, that's our mission in life. But the first thing is, before you go and fix others, fix yourself. Because if you don't fix yourself, you cannot fix nobody. Maybe a few words on Makat Choshech, which is also an idea of the inner side of us. Meaning, what is Makat Choshech? Normally we think Makat Choshech is what? Darkness. It was dark. It says a part of the plague was dark, you couldn't see. And then there was even worse, you couldn't even move. Like Vayamesh Choshech. The Choshech was like, it was becoming
tangible.
You could touch it, you couldn't touch it, you couldn't move. It was like a block, like a wall. You couldn't move. Yeah. If you were standing like this, that's the way you stayed. You were sitting, that's the way you stayed. Now, what's the idea behind it? And what is this Choshech? One of the nicest ideas I saw, I don't remember who says it, and he says that Choshech was really light. What does it mean? Imagine to yourself going on the Arava road in the middle of the night to Elat, or coming back from Elat. And suddenly a truck comes in front of you with the big headlights, the highlights, giving a big light on the road. Do you see anything?
No, I'm blind.
The Makat Choshech was really the light of Bereshit, the pure light of holiness. And the minute that this pure light came down, the Egyptian couldn't see anything, couldn't even move eventually. Because when we look at the sun with no special glasses, we blind ourselves. Why? It's light. It's a lot of light. But again, a lot is sometimes nothing. Too much of a good thing. That's, by the way, in the Kabbalah, the whole idea of the Sefirot, the 10 Sefirot, is that it's Masachim. Masachim are screens. What does it mean? When God wants to give me the light, can I take the light? No. You can't take the light of God. It's too much. So what do? You put a screen. First of all, the screen is very thick. I'm not going to go to whole sefirot, but the idea is, as long as you go, the screen becomes thinner and thinner, and you can get more light and more light and more light till the point of Acharit Hayamim, the Geula. In other words, in order to get the light of God, I just cannot give me the light. On the contrary, the minute I get the light, I have to put a screen. What did Moshe Rabbeinu say? When he saw God, what did he do? He covered himself. He couldn't look. Because you cannot look at the light of God. And this is exactly what happened here. The light was at the level that the Egyptian couldn't see, but who could see? Am Israel could see. And that's a beautiful idea about the Makat Choshech. By the way, a similar thing happens with the angel and Lot and the people of Sodom. When they come and they want to take the people out, so they, what do they do to them? They give them Makat Choshech, really. Sanverim! In other words, Sanverim was too much light, they couldn't see anything. And that's a big lesson for us. Because sometimes we want to get the light. We want to be holy more than holy. And we have to understand it's not so simple and not so easy. You have to work for it. You don't get the light with doing nothing. Yagata umatzata ta'amin. Lo yagata ve'matzata al ta'amin. Didn't find anything. If you want to find God, you have to work for it. You have to break yourself. One of the very interesting idea is when we do Tfilat Shmoneh Esreh, also al Piyah Kabbalah, it's by on levels. And one of the highest level is in Sim Shalom. What do we say in Sim Shalom? Ki ba'or panecha. We get the light of God. So what do we do right away afterwards? Nefilat Apayim. Because when you get to this high level, on this spot you have to do Nefilat Apayim because you cannot get the light. And you have to show God, I am humble. I understand that I cannot get all this light that I wish for, and I have to first of all break myself and put myself down as Moshe Rabbeinu did, and then I can get the light. So Makat Choshech is really the light of God. And we have to understand that sometimes we think that darkness is light and light is darkness, which is also another issue by itself. But I want to finish with a midrash that said that the Choshech was at the thickness of dinar kesef, of a coin of silver. A thickness of a coin of silver. So people ask, what's this strange midrash? You know, I can compare it to a lot of things, but what's the idea? The idea is very simple. Sometimes in life, we have friends, we have family, but sometimes comes a point, I want to find it exactly, the pasuk. Lo ra'u ish et achiv. What is lo ra'u ish et achiv? Didn't see each one his brother. Ish et achiv. Says this midrash. When money is involved, when silver is involved, you don't see your brother. You don't see nobody. You see only the money. And that's a big lesson for us to understand. That's also Makat Choshech. Shkoyech, all the best.